Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we have now a new Supreme Court nominee, Samuel Alito. And according to one of the first articles out by the Associated Press, Sam Alito ruled in 2000 that a New Jersey law banning late-term abortions was unconstitutional, and that he put his signature to a decision with the majority there following Supreme Court precedent. So that makes Sam Alito a legal positivist, which means that he elevates law above God. He elevates process above God. Thou shalt not murder is not part of a prevailing moral foundation that Samuel Alito has, and it's my guess that many of our Christian national ministries will support him. That's my guess. Of course, we'll find out, and I'm not a prophet, so I don't claim any kind of inerrancy record at predictions, but we'll see what our Christian leaders do, but almost certainly he will be confirmed, and this will be tragic because we will get yet another legal positivist on the courts as per the wishes of our national Christian ministries and leaders who prefer, at least based on their public policy statements, their goal is not a judge who fears God or who knows right from wrong or who will protect the innocent, but their goal is a judge who will follow process and not be an activist judge. You know, when it's legal to murder children, exactly what you need is an activist judge who will say that it's irrelevant what previous courts have ruled. I will not rubber stamp the killing of unborn children. That's what you need. But our Christian leaders have become legal positivists, and they have turned the whole body of Christ into a legal positivist body, where morality is completely deteriorating, completely. And just the phone calls I had yesterday as a talk show host, a counselor, and with Christian families embracing forms of sexual immorality. Just startling, absolutely startling. Now, before we talk more about Samuel Alito, I want to tell you about the plight of a woman in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey, was born and raised there, and this poor lady, Kathleen Long, involved in a hot air balloon accident. Now, one of our neighbors here in Colorado has a hot air balloon. She drags it out of her garage when the weather's nice and up, up and away, and she has a great time. And when we went to Turkey last year, what, about 20 of us went in a hot air balloon over Cappadocia. They call it Cappadocia. Boy, did we have a great time. And we're going to Greece, Lord willing, in May for 2 weeks. Starting when? May 18th? A Bible tour of Greece. We're going to have a wonderful time. So we'll get information about that trip out soon on our website. But this poor lady, oh, I'm going to tell you what happened to her. But first, our phone number, if you'd like to talk about Judge Samuel Alito. What do you think about George Bush's pick? And should he be trusted? Should Karl Rove be trusted? Our national Christian leaders, what do you think they, how will they come down on this nominee? And what do you think about the issue of legal positivism, elevating law above God, elevating man's law above God? What do you think about that? Is it appropriate that our Christian leaders have taken that path? Is it necessary? Do we have to do that? Or is it a mistake? 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, out of Bethlehem Township, New Jersey, this poor woman, Kathleen Long, she's 53 years old. Now, picture this. She was helping her husband launch his hot air balloon, and she was critically injured when her leg got caught in a rope and she was pulled up into the air. Now, there were witnesses who saw this accident happen, and as she's being pulled up, she was dragged through treetops, and then her leg came undone, and she fell for about 50 feet and hit the roof of a barn and crashed through the roof of a barn. What a nightmare. This poor woman, Kathleen Long, 53, in New Jersey. Wow, that's an Associated Press story. That's just devastating. You know, that it does remind me, though, of another a bizarre story that I first heard about years ago. I wonder if I could find this. I might be able to find this story, and then I'll relate it to you. But first, our phone number, if you're interested in talking about this nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, Samuel Alito, please call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, okay, here's the story. Oh, this was a sad story. Now, the story I just related to you, that's from this morning, October 31st, 2005. And this woman now is, you know, she's seriously injured, and she's in critical condition at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So that's out today. Now, this story is from a few years back, and it involved a bricklayer, and he had set up a pulley in a bucket on a rope to get bricks up to a third-story roof to build a chimney. And he finished the job and noticed that he had quite a few bricks left over up on the roof. So he used the pulley to lower them down. First, he went down to the ground and raised the large metal bucket up to the roof level using that rope and pulley he had set up. The next thing he did was he tied the rope off onto a railing and climbed back up to the roof and loaded the bricks into the bucket. Then he went back down to the ground. Are you following this? And he knew that the bricks would be heavy, so he wrapped the rope around his hand a couple of times and then untied the end of the rope with his other hand. Well, it turned out that this strategy was a mistake. The bricks were heavier than he had imagined. And with physics being as it is, he was immediately launched upward at a high rate of speed. This poor guy, a bricklayer. And as he was racing up towards the roof, he encountered the bucket full of bricks coming down at an equally fast rate. He collided with a bucket and broke his nose and his shoulder. This is a terrible story. The bucket passed by him as he sped upwards, right? Because the bucket's full of bricks. It's falling down. And he reached the pulley just before the bucket hit the ground, and he broke a few of his fingers, the poor guy, as they were pulled into the pulley. Now, when the bucket hit the ground, the force of that collision, the bottom of the bucket fell out and all the bricks spilled onto the ground. Now the whole process reversed, because now the bucket was light and it began to speed upward, and the bricklayer, he started falling down, and he took a shot to the groin when one of his legs slipped into the empty bucket. This poor guy. What a poor slob. He then he's halfway down the side of the building and he gets hit with the empty bucket, and that caused him to flip sideways, and he tilted just enough to fall out of the bucket. This is tragic. And he continued, you know, basically he has a gravity experiment going on here. So he continued falling downward, and eventually he landed on top of the pile of bricks that was at the bottom. He broke both of his feet, And he collapsed there in pain on the bricks, but he was just glad to be alive. He let go of the rope and cried out for help. And it was then that the bucket hit him in the head and fractured his skull. Oh, that's too funny. I'm sorry. That's just too funny. Anyway, okay, the story from New Jersey, that poor gal, that's reported today by the Associated Press. And the bricklayer story, I can't corroborate that story. I can't tell you for sure who it was or when it happened. Okay, now let's go to Colorado Springs, Colorado. Charles, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you. First time caller from Colorado Springs. That story is a hard thing to follow for a phone call.
That's right, Charles. Now we'll get serious, right?
Okay, yeah.
About Samuel Alito nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court by President George Bush this morning.
I want to thank you for two things. You're using the term political activist.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Oh, wait, legal. That's right. Legal positivist.
Legal positive.
Legal
that's a new term for me, but I want to really thank you because it's basically putting man's law above God's law.
Right.
In what aspect do they do that?
And even man's law above God himself.
Okay.
Well, in this case, for example, our national Christian leaders have been saying that the most important thing we need in a judge is a judge who will follow the Constitution.
Right.
That's what they've been saying. And we take issue with that. For example, the Constitution gives judicial authority to the Supreme Court and to the inferior courts. And so what that tells us is that there's a hierarchy of judicial authority, and the lower courts do not have the constitutional authority to overrule the Supreme Court.
Hmm.
They don't have that authority.
Right.
Because they're lower courts by the Constitution. So if your prevailing principle is we want judges who will follow the Constitution, then the lower court judges will uphold Supreme Court rulings.
Okay.
Because by man's law, by our Constitution, that is their function. They cannot rebel against the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And so you have a judge like Samuel. We've got Samuel Alito here. Mm. And just in the year 2000, he was hearing a case regarding a ban on late-term abortions when babies are in their third trimester. You know, they've been sucking their thumbs already for over 6 months, some of these babies, for 5-6 months. And New Jersey had a law that would ban late-term abortions. And Sam Alito ruled that that would violate the Supreme Court's existing decisions.
Oh, no.
And since he is not a judicial activist, since he is a strict constructionist, and he's a constitutionalist, he realizes his role as a judge is not to make law and not to go by his own personal beliefs, but to uphold the process. And in this case, following the process meant that he would approve of the continued legalized killing of late-term babies.
What a shame. Now, I'd heard of settled law, and that had raised a red flag for people that were going to use that as an excuse to keep the atrocity going.
Right.
But now I'm hearing a whole different. Now, how does original constitutionalist, does that differ from?
No, it's really, these are all synonyms for legal positivism.
Oh, boy.
And all these synonyms are what our national Christian leaders have adopted as the public face of their judicial strategy.
It was my hope that at least that term original constitutionalist would get back to the founding fathers who had a philosophy of revering God, but that doesn't even hold water, huh?
Well, Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, as our founding fathers wrote it and ratified it, I don't know if you recall, but one of the things Article 1 did was it codified into the founding document of our nation that slaves, mostly black people, would be numbered as three-fifths of a person.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's in Article 1 of the Constitution. Now, is that inspired by God? Is that
right.
ultimate truth? Is it ultimate righteousness?
That led to the Dred Scott case, right?
Exactly. The U.S. Supreme Court, they were being strict constructionists when they ruled that you could own blacks just as you own property. And so that was an evil decision, and it was solidly based on the Constitution, because Article 1 of the Constitution codified for the nation the existing slavery laws. So here's what a judge should do, and these are the, this is the kind of judge that James Dobson should be lobbying for. We should ask for judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. That's what we should ask for. But instead, we're asking for judges like John Roberts, who said that there is, under oath, he said, there is nothing in his personal views that would prevent him from fully and faithfully upholding Roe v. Wade. Now, that, you know, what that tells us is that John Roberts is a legal positivist, that thou shalt not murder is not a prevailing principle for him or for Samuel Alito or for the theoretical judges that the American Family Association has been calling for.
Well, where do we get the judges like Bork and like Scalia that I don't know what description they fit into?
Charles,
they...
let me ask you, where do you get most of your news from? What sources?
I guess Rush Limbaugh, somewhat, you know, Synopsis.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally I just turn on Sean Hannity some, Mike Medved a little bit.
Yeah.
That's, and those are just like maybe
now,
20 minutes out of the week.
Now, none of those guys would have told you about Robert Bork. I read his book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah, which is actually an excellent book. But in that book, he points out that his whole professional life, he was pro-abortion.
Oh, my God.
Pro-choice. And when he was nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, he was a pro-abort. Now, later, after he was borked, then he changed his position.
Oh.
And I actually don't know how strongly he's pro-life today, but then he changed his position afterward so that his case was typical of so many. When all the conservative Christians were fighting for him, he was a pro-abort.
I didn't know. And he was the key guy that turned my heart against Myers, because he wrote a brilliant piece that I got a snippet from.
Against Harriet Myers.
Said what we needed to do to change the direction of the court is get someone that was a heavyweight that could go in the direction of the original constitutionalist.
Yeah, now that statement, that's a legal positivist statement.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no morality in that.
No, there's not.
There is no morality. The Bible says qualifications for judges, that they should be men who fear God.
Oh, my.
Men who fear God. I submit to you that of all our national leaders, our national ministries, none of them will utter these words publicly, that we want judges who fear God.
I actually heard I heard Roberts actually in his own voice answering a Senate question. I just got a bit of it. He said, in essence, my religion and my personal views do not affect my interpretation of law or something, the way I would conduct office.
And that's the
it
same.
It sent a cold chill through my.
It should.
He
same.
Was either lying or
no, these guys,
he was being exposing something very irrational.
Yeah. Christians are always told that we need to hope that these guys are lying. Like when George Bush, when George Bush nationally and repeatedly has stated on TV that he does not consider abortion when nominating judges. Now, that's true. It's obviously true. His whole career, he stacked the Texas courts with pro-abortion judges. Alberto Gonzalez is a total pro-abort.
And his mother, Barbara,
is a pro-abort.
Barbara Bush, she's really pro-abort.
And so is his wife, Laura Bush. And we said this when he was running for office first time, and callers didn't believe it.
This is bad news for the babies.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right.
This is
bad. All right, so, Charles, but it's part of our goal as a ministry here at Bob and Yurt Live.
Okay.
We're actually a talk show. It's a business, yeah. Bob and Yurt Live.
More of a thought show than a talk show.
Yeah, well, thank you. But it's part of our goal to educate Christians on what legal positivism is, and then to get us from the grassroots to turn up the heat on our pastors, Sunday school teachers, and especially eventually the national Christian leaders, and say we have to stop being legal positivists because you have not, because you ask not, and we are asking for the kinds of judges who authorized the killing of Jews in Germany. That's the kind of judges we are advocating for today.
Yeah, the rule by law,
right.
Man's law.
Yeah, all right.
You have really opened up something here, and Rush Limbaugh hasn't, Sean Hannity hasn't, and
they are legal positivists.
Well, then I've got to make a call into those shows and raise a little, you know, ruckus, but I'm going to listen to yours more, and thank you very much.
All right, Charles, God bless you. I appreciate that. The phone number here is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So in this Associated Press article out today, October 31st, of all days, on Halloween, Bush gives us his nominee for the Supreme Court. And a ghoulish nominee it is. This Associated Press story out today says it is not guaranteed that Judge Samuel Alito would vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, of course, conservatives and pro-lifers would hope that he would, but he already has a track record, right? On the third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, Alito voted in 1991 to uphold a Pennsylvania law that included a provision requiring women seeking abortions to notify their spouses. Now, people change their views over time. And, of course, there are millions of people who were or would have been horrified by the notion of legalized abortion in 1973 that today support it because we become accustomed to it. And we'll never be able to prove this, ever, until Judgment Day at least. But here's my guess. If Samuel Alito heard that case today, 14 years later, he would vote the opposite of what he did vote. Because today, it's even way less likely that judges would care about the opinion of a spouse regarding the issue of abortion, that a woman is killing her husband's child and the husband doesn't even know what's happening. Now, conservative pro-lifers are confused because they would think that it would be good to pass a law saying that to get an abortion, you need spousal notification first. If you notify your spouse, then you could have an abortion. And, of course, any law that ends and then you can kill the baby is a bad law. That's a bad law. And so as pro-lifers and Christians, we need to be able to identify this because our Christian leaders are legal positivists. So what would make us think that their legal initiatives will be fundamentally righteous? You see, if you compromise on thou shalt not murder, what is it that you will not compromise on? And the one thing that the pro-life movement compromises on way less commonly than thou shalt not murder is the Republican Party. For the most part, pro-lifers are true to the Republican Party, whereas they compromise on thou shalt not murder and they brag about it. And they will mock you if you bring up the argument and say, you know, we should not compromise on do not murder. We should not, even though we think it fits our political strategy, we should not find ways to say, well, as long as you get permission, then you could kill a Jew. We shouldn't do that. Not only is it wrong, it's politically naive. It's ignorant. And yet that is the state of the current pro-life movement in America. That is, they hardly ever put an initiative on the ballot that is fundamentally righteous. In fact, I submit to you that our Christian leaders no longer know how to think in terms of fundamental right and wrong. They do not know how to do that. Their thought process has been so clouded by political calculations that far more important to them is how will this spin in the media versus what is right and what is wrong. So that's why Focus on the Family, I mean, they still employ Carrie Gordon Earle. And she was asked about a Bush judicial nominee some weeks back. And she said, well, we're not so as concerned about Roe v. Wade as we are about being a strict constructionist. Oh, that's interesting. We're more concerned about judicial philosophy than about whether he thinks that killing unborn children is actually murder. And so here we have Samuel Alito. And you know what? His judicial philosophy, the pro-life ministries, this is why I'm predicting many of them, if not all of them, are going to support him. Because he's a strict constructionist. So much so that he'll sign to say, yes, you could continue killing babies in the third trimester because I'm going to follow the Constitution, which tells me that I do not have the authority to reverse the Supreme Court. And I'm an inferior court. So here's what a judge who fears God and will protect the innocent, here's what that kind of judge should do. That kind of judge, with given a case, is should this abortion be allowed to continue? Should this particular child be killed, like when Priscilla Owen killed baby 10 in Texas? The judge should either rule that it is always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent child and rule against allowing such an abortion, or the judge should resign. Those are his two moral options. But not to follow precedent as Samuel Alito did in 2000 when he kept it legal to slaughter babies in the third trimester in New Jersey. Why? Because he is a strict constructionist. His judicial philosophy is consistent with what the AFA has been calling for. And Don Wildman. And the Christian Coalition. And Pat Robertson. And Jerry Falwell. And Focus on the Family. And D. James Kennedy. And Gary Cass of Reclaiming America. So, hey, guys out there, gals, we got a lot of work to do. We have to educate our side because our side has lost its way. It's elevated man's law above God, and we got to let them know. Not that we consider them enemies. They've lost their way, and they need to be steered in the direction of godliness. Okay, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha. 303-431-5653. That's 431-5653, Maranatha.